You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
You know, it's really something to be a cis white man being the one leading a review about one of the most preeminent gay stories in theater. So let me just start by saying I have many gay friends. And also, if Matt Bomer asked me, I would let him do terrible things to me.
She has potential.
Well, we are talking about Boys in the Band, and I am Ben. With me, you have heard Jen so far.
Hello, everybody.
We have Jordan.
Hello, it's your favorite reviewing dyke. I can say it, but you can't.
And, of course, we also have Mark with us.
Hello, hello.
And, yeah, I was only partially joking on that I do feel largely unqualified to be leading this because this movie really is a really much beloved classic story off-Broadway and off-Broadway, and I don't know other ways to say off-Broadway.
And on Broadway.
Through Broadway, and, you know.
It's okay, honey. We have enough flamboyance in this room to counterbalance. We need a little bit of grounding with this much extra. So, we're glad you're here. There you go.
That makes it my moment to shine. Hello, everybody.
Well, a story of the Boys in the Band is basically it's a birthday party for a group of gay men in 1968. Primarily, the gay man whose birthday it is Harold, played by Zachary Quinto. But our main character is really Michael, played by Jim Parsons, who owns this apartment and, you know, clearly feels a little bit lost in his place in the world as he's getting all of his friends over. Primarily, Matt Bomer is his closest, you know, ally, the person that he seems to have the most openness with. But slowly, others flood in, like Hank and his boyfriend Larry, played by Andrew Reynolds and Tuck Watkins. We have Emery, played by Robin DeJesus. We have, as I said, Zachary Quinto playing Harold. And then we have his old college friend, Alan, played by Brian Hutchinson, decides to show up. He happens to be straight and not know that Michael is straight. And things kind of escalate from there as he ends up showing up at this party, not ready to see and hang out with gay men in the 60s or 70s, which, yeah, that's kind of not unusual for that time, but things really do go off the rails in a wonderful way.
I think you mean he doesn't know that Michael is gay.
Yes.
Sorry if I wasn't clear on that. Yes.
But yeah, this was interesting. I just saw the trailer and thought, wow, this seems cool. And then I did learn the history of the play and its original 1970 film, which I had planned to try and track down and watch before this. But alas, you know, it's 2020. Time is an illusion. Doesn't mean anything anymore. So.
Oh, no. It means we have to hang out more and watch more amazing, iconic films. Yes. I'm so mad about it.
This is the worst.
Yeah, I'd love to see the original movie. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, but just watching this movie, I absolutely fucking loved it. This is one of my hands-down favorites of the year. And it is astonishing to be reminded with how much I dislike The Big Bang Theory. Jim Parsons is a damn good actor.
Yeah. Parsons can act. There ain't no doubt about that.
One more little thing. I really love this character because as a former alcoholic myself, he actually nailed down what it felt like just to be a drunk. Just to try and get by in the day. Even if you can make it to lunch or, you know, maybe 11 a.m. and shit. I thought that was just like, I really connected.
Oh, yeah. I did leave out one character, Cowboy, played by Charlie Carver, who is a male prostitute ordered as a birthday present, or basically Rocky Horror with more lines to show he's not that intelligent.
That's fair. That's fair. A sweet summer child of the film. The character dynamics of this entire project are wonderful. And given the history of bringing the gay movement into popular culture and acquiring awareness for, you know, just the day-to-day issues that people in the gay community go through, I found this project to be a really refreshing way of revisiting issues from the 60s that are still relevant today. Yeah. And it felt like a really great way to introduce somebody who is not aware of the history of the culture and the movement to it. Because it covers so many aspects, like just core central features of people's lives going through that, from having to suppress who you really are to not being accepted by people around you, to trying to live and be out and having censure from people around you, to screw what anybody else says, I'm just going to live my life and be out and proud about it. It covers every different gamut, every color of the types of dynamics that we've seen on the screen, and it makes it feel really fresh in a way that's really organic and is really true to the original production, which was just amazing for me to see. I haven't been wowed by a project like this that has this kind of a statement to say in a really long time.
Yeah, I just want to say, yeah, the cast dynamic is especially good since this is the same cast from its 2018 Broadway revival.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and this cast is completely representative of gay culture. All of the men in this film are actually gay in real life, which was not true of the original stage production. I think it was a half and half, or two or three men were very straight and the rest were gay. But the fact that they were able to find so many actors who just bonded with the subject matter so much and were so strongly advocating to be in this project was really cool to see. It's so many powerhouse actors in this thing. It's amazing.
What amazed me is that as I was watching it at first, and I didn't know the history of this production, and I'm like, this is so hackneyed. And then I looked it up and I started doing a little research. I'm like, oh no, this is a standard. I didn't know that. This is the one that, you know, everybody takes their, lead from. And then I realized this was done the year I was born, and that's not particularly significant. But what is significant is that it was done when it was illegal to be a homosexual openly, or, well, period. You could go to jail because of the sodomy laws in New York. And they talk about that in passing reference. And I'm like, this is an insanely brave play to do. And it was a virtual career ender for some of the people, I mean, potentially. And for the people that did it, whether they were cis or heterosexual or homosexual, there's a pretty brave thing to do in the 60s. But it's still, these are really brave performances even now in 2020. So there you go.
Most definitely. And I don't want to discount this movie either, because, I mean, the story, as we said, is kind of now timeless for, you know, the American gay experience since the 60s. And that's great. But this movie kind of captures everything that you can hope to kind of grow on from play. It nails that bottle movie feel where it's all set in one place in a really, really well-created apartment. I have to imagine it's a set.
I would kill for that apartment.
Same.
Like, literally fucking murder for that apartment.
It's just like, wow. I get that your character is supposed to be really broke, but being broke in New York must have been a lot better than it is being broke anywhere else right now. I will say the only character that I was kind of mixed on was more or less just Harold, Zachary Quinto's character. I get what he's supposed to be, and he does have a really dark, dry humor to him, but I almost felt like his character never felt like it really got fleshed out or to life. I admittedly have not seen the play or the previous film.
Well, he's a Greek chorus. He's the truth teller.
I almost wanted more from him throughout the movie. You know, he kind of feels like he's the one who doesn't get fleshed out as much as I'd wanted.
I would have loved more because he is phenomenal.
Yeah, I love him. There's not been a single thing he's been in that I haven't fawned all over, so I am admittedly biased. But the character that he was based on was actually the best friend of the author of the play. And the relationship between the two of them was very much that antagonistic, I'm going to be completely and utterly savage with you because I expect better out of you, so do better kind of attitude. And the way that he captures that in the play itself and the delivery from Zachary Quinto is just really phenomenal to me. He's understated and subtle, but completely savage and straight to the truth of everything. He's meant to be the lens. He's supposed to be the honesty filter of the whole thing. Like, I see through your bullshit. I'm not playing the games you're playing, and I'm going to call you out on your shit because you're being a word I'm not going to repeat right now that begins with a C.
Well, the play is paced around his character, you know? I mean, he's the one that sets the stage.
He's understated and subtle, but he's also got that flair of flamboyance about him. And I think it's those pretty kick-ass glasses of his.
And the way he carries himself, he has this, like, serpentine way of movement.
He does.
Well, he's also stoned.
I don't want to be too nerdy, but you know what? Fuck it.
Go for it.
Him and Jim Parsons were pretty much like Batman and Joker right here. And it was fucking brilliant to see them play off that. It really was. Or, I don't know, Sherlock and Moriarty. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah.
God, I'm a huge fucking literary nerd. Let's go with that.
That's fair. And I'm not saying I thought he was bad. I'm saying more, I almost wanted more of that. I felt like there wasn't as much direct interaction with him, with Parsons, as much as I wanted.
That's fair.
I maybe would have liked to have known like a little bit more about his deal, but I kind of got to disagree with you because I like that bit of mysteriousness about him. I really do. And he's only as good as being this sort of character as he's got to have something to bounce off of. And Jim Parsons does that so well. I honestly both think they should not knock out several award wins, if that's even possible, given the state of the world
America's
right
sweethearts.
Now. But they are just absolutely fucking phenomenal. Jim, again, I gotta relate to Jim Parsons in a lot of ways because I'm not just an alcoholic, former alcoholic myself, but I was raised Catholic, and let's just say I'm not exactly welcomed back at Mass anymore right now. But it really is fascinating, that character. And when he falls off the wagon, he fucking falls.
Kind of makes you realize why he doesn't drink in the first place anymore, or that much.
God, yes.
Yeah, it's that last vestige of holding on to some sort of composure that he knows he's on the brink of losing his entire shit over everything. So he knows that. Yeah, he knows that that one thing would be enough to tip the scale, and that would just be it. And you see a bit of that in this project, and just the way that he lets go and you just feel that raw emotion. I mean, I felt it in the center of my chest.
Gotta also praise just everybody. Fucking Matt Bomer cutting loose and being a little bit sassy.
I love him.
Which,
I love him so much.
I so adore Matt Bomer.
Yeah,
he's actually why I signed up for this, because I've loved him since White Collar and then everything since.
Oh, I love White Collar too.
I found it interesting that I kind of expected coming into this with the two main names that I knew on this project, you know, Jim Parsons and Zachary Quinto, I expected them to dominate the film. But I think they did a really great job of balancing the dynamics of all of the characters. I think everybody had their moment to shine or their moment to like sink into the depths of human despair in their experience. And we got range from everybody in this film, every single person. And I think that's really unique and very hard to do in such a short period of time.
I want to bring up the other two because they kind of are lumped in together in terms of because Robin DeJesus as Emery and Michael Benjamin Washington as Bernard, they bring the camp of things.
Emery is my favorite. Like, that personifies me as a human being.
Emery is very much what would be described as a flaming fag, a screaming queen. And
he'd tell you that himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Insert fan
and
clap
just
here.
Like, yeah, he's just so engaging. And Bernard, he's a bit more downplayed, but he's also got his own bit of flamboyance. But another aspect I really liked was the relationship of Hank and Larry by played by Tuck Watkins and Andrew Rennellis, which I think worked even better because I found out they're actually dating.
That's pretty good.
I didn't know that.
So,
oh, you can see it too.
Yeah, that was my discovery when doing some research after. I was just like, man, it's just so believable and palpable. That explained.
There was so much intensity. They did have chemistry.
Oh, yeah,
so I
absolutely.
Get it.
Their whole arc is fantastic. And Brian Hutchinson as Alan, I thought, okay, maybe the weakest link of this story, but even still, he's really damn good. Like, he actually runs the wide gamut of emotions over this whole thing. And what I really like most is that sort of like his conclusion is left up in the air.
Sure. I mean, Alan's character is not meant to be the dynamic character in this. He's supposed to be the catalyst. And he has one scene where he catalyzes the situation and basically sets everything off, including Michael's drinking. And basically that sets everything else in a spin as Michael, you know, ends up lashing out at everyone around him from his own hate and despair and stress about everything in the world. And that's why we get this great movie, which I also feel like we need to really credit the director, Joe Mantello, who actually is the director on Broadway for this. He's not a big time, you know, filmmaker or, you know, director of film and TV. He's done some, but it's really that he took that, you know, and basically knew this play so well that he was able to translate it to a film so gorgeously, even with that limited experience in film and television. And that is not an easy thing. He also does it with a cinematographer, Bill Pope, that I really want to credit. Really veteran cinematographer, and he helps nail that where this small apartment never feels like it's a set. It never feels like it's such a small location because it really captures all these different angles and these different locations. When somebody goes to the kitchen, it really does feel like a different area, or going up to the bedroom feels so cordoned off from everything like it's supposed to be. And it's really a skillful pairing between the two of them to capture all of that with such a small set and such a big cast. All right, well, then I think it's about time that we roll into final thoughts, because I think we just won't stop gushing over this. Jordan, you seem to have the strongest feeling, so why don't you start us off?
Why, thank you. As your resident bald dyke here, I will safely say I adore this movie. I want to discover more about it. I want to see the original film, and if I can, I would definitely love to see any type of production of it. I just found this story to be incredibly well put together. I adored it. It is one of my new favorite examples of a bottle film, and the acting. God, I just give Jim Parsons and Zachary Quinto all the damn awards. I know I already said that with Delroy Lindo and the Five Bloods. Give all three just all the awards. They were so goddamn amazing. It's, soundtrack of this movie is also incredible. I have to say that. Just watch this movie. You're going to be happy you did. It is an acting masterclass, and that's acting with five C's. Damn it. I am going to give this 9.5 out of 10 bottles of gin.
Fair enough. Mark, how about you?
Okay, well, I kind of evolved this as I watched this, and I got to the point where I loved it so much, I watched it again with my girlfriend, and she really enjoyed it as well. A couple of quick thoughts. Jim Parsons is astonishing. He's riveting as a frustrating, complex, and brittle character. His Michael is so conflicted, he can't face his own anger at the blatant discrimination, all the narrow-mindedness, and his own self-hatred, unless it's at the bottom of a bottle. I mean, literally, that you see all the depths of his soul come right out. It's not very handsome. I love the complex relationships. I like Harold, Quintos' Harold, but I think he serves a purpose. He's a fulcrum, you know? He's not meant to be all that kinetic in the play, and because everything seems to revolve around him and what he does. But I also like the implication that he and Michael have a very special relationship that allows them to be this vicious with each other, and they are. They lay each other's bare truths, and they kick each other in the balls conversationally repeatedly in this movie, and they just, that's the way it is. I mean, at the very end of it, after Michael is devastated to the point of like near hysteria by something that Harold says, he says, well, call you tomorrow, and that's just the way it is with them, you know. I love that. It also takes stereotypical characters such as Emery and kind of shows you why he might be just the strongest one of the whole bunch, because out of all of them, he's least afraid to be who he is. And I thought it was amazing. I really did. I'd love to see the sequel, which I believe is called The Men from the Boys. I'd love to see a production of that too. I'm kind of curious to see where they go with it. I will give this 8 out of 10 must unfolded cravat. Ascots.
Fair enough. Jen, how about you?
I mean, surprising nobody, I really loved this depiction. I found myself comparing it in my head to a lot of the character dynamics and tropes from Queer as Folk, which was one of the works that I grew up watching and basing a lot of my interactions with when I was a kid. I really love how real and how raw it is. It's not polished. Life isn't pretty. It can be dirty. It can be depressing. It can be gritty. And this manages to not only capture that element of the human experience, but in the same moment, you can have bits of joy and this beautiful bubble of safety where they can just be themselves. And I'm thinking about it a lot in regards to the way our society is moving here in the United States right now and things that are happening in the courts and how things like gay marriage are being challenged. And I feel like though we would like to think that this moment in history, the late 60s, is something that we've overcome and surpassed, there are still vestiges of it in our society that are going to be lingering for quite some time, I think. And it's important to take a minute and to stop and think about how people are affected by the decisions we make as a society. And this just really made me think about that. I think the actors were brilliant. The direction was brilliant. The staging was brilliant. I want to see this play done in person very, very much. I mean, I have no negative critique, which is unusual for me. So I'm going to give this a 9.55555 flamboyantly folded fans out of 10.
Well, I've got to be clear, just like everyone else, I think we all really love this. This movie and this play is such a cultural touchstone, and I think it's almost even more so now, something that I think is a must watch and like a critical watch for so many people, because it gives so much more of an understanding. You know, it was important for kind of, you know, getting homosexual culture out into the light in the late 60s and the early 70s, but now it's like, cool, we need to kind of show people what that struggle actually is and what they put up with and still are, sadly, so much. Because like so many people are like, well, you know, they weren't really, you know, anything railed against them. They didn't have, it wasn't a civil rights issue for them. It's like, you know, please watch this as they struggle for their identity and self-hate that was put on them by the world. Please watch this. Yeah, it's, we can't say enough about how good the cast is, how good the directing is. You know, this cast won the Tony for the revival for very good reason. And it is just a stellar experience to watch. I don't really have much else to say that we haven't already touched on besides that. So I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 really masculine hairsprays. It's got to have control.
Yes, even when it's, yes, even when it says it on the can 37 goddamn times.
There is one more thing. Do go watch the very short, like 25, 26 minute documentary on the making of the project, because they interview the original director and writer of the project, and it's wonderful, and you see all the actors and get their perspectives on why they did it. It's so good.
I was made unaware of that until you mentioned it in our Slack, and
you're
I thought,
welcome.
Well, I guess I did need an excuse to rewatch this, so I rewatched the movie and then saw that documentary, and I do highly recommend it as well.
Also, you can kind of see how much Jim Parsons really did base his performance off of Mart. It's like, oh, he really did try to capture you, Mart, in this performance.
You are all up in this piece.